Edge with Chris Graham.
Getting ready for game two. Chris Graham here on the podcast. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk some World Series as the Washington Nationals and Houston Astros getting ready for game two down in Houston. And I will be on scene in D.C. for all three games starting Friday night, and assuming the weather forecast is accurate. And that there needs to be three games, I suppose, with the Nats winning game one. Who knows if, you know, until the series is tied at a game apiece, we won't know if there even is a need for a game five. We'll know that tonight. But yeah, Crystal Graham and I will be up at Nats Park in the stadium for all three. And that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And but tonight, as we are here on Wednesday afternoon, as we record this podcast, game two, and the Nats with the 5-4 win in game one. Unexpected? You know, I laid out a strategy when I was writing yesterday ahead of the opener last night as to what the Nats would need to do to win this series. And my supposition was you have to win one of these two in Houston. You can't go back to D.C. down 2-0 no matter what. Of course, I mean, you'd have the three games with the format of 2-3-2. You had three games in D.C., but you didn't want to have to rely on sweeping those three going back to Houston then with a fighting chance. And you certainly, I don't think you could go, you know, you really can't go back to Houston down 3-2. So, you know, the math worked out to the point where you felt like you needed one of these two. Easier said than done. You're going up against Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander, and Garrett Cole hadn't lost since May 22nd. And it was an interesting coincidence, I guess. I mean, it's just a coincidence, obviously, to that date, May 22nd. We all attribute the turnaround of the Nats season to May 24th, 2 days later. On May 22nd, they were still in the midst of a four-game sweep, what turned into a four-game sweep at the hands of the New York Mets. On their way to what, you know, the depth of the season, a 19-31 start. Well, Garrett Cole was 5-5 when he lost on May 22nd, and including playoffs, he'd gone 19-0 since in 25 starts. Astros were 23-2 in his starts, and that was what the Nats faced last night, a guy who was 3-0 with a 0.40 ERA in the postseason. And then Max Scherzer throws 26 pitches the first inning, gives up a two-out, two-run double, and all of a sudden it's 2-0 to a guy who's given up one earned run in three postseason starts total, one earned run total in four postseason starts. And the Nats win the game, and they don't just win the game. They win it they score five runs on the best pitcher, at least right now, in all of baseball, in Garrett Cole. Both a solo homer by Ryan Zimmerman in the second inning, a solo homer by Juan Soto in the fourth inning, and then a three-run explosion. It had to feel like an explosion in the fifth. RBI fielder's choice off the bat of Anthony Rendon, and then a two-out, two-run double by Soto again. And then you still needed, because of the pitch count troubles of Max Scherzer, 112 pitches through five innings. He just could not get he couldn't get through an inning easily, except for the fifth. Ironically, the only inning he really breezed through, a 1-2-3 inning, his only 1-2-3 inning of the night. But 112 pitches to get through five. And then you're starting to think, okay, if you're a Nats fan, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you are, you're thinking, wow, okay, so we have a 5-2 lead off of Garrett Cole, but they're already in our bullpen. And we've got to figure out a way to get four innings out of our bullpen. Well, Dave Martinez had hinted earlier in the day yesterday. I wrote about this yesterday. Check out Augusta Free Press. We'll actually give you some insight into what's going on here in this World Series. But Martinez had hinted yesterday that he was not set on his Game 3 starter being Patrick Corbin. And the idea was he might use Corbin, or at least have him available to be used in relief in either Games 1 or 2. Turns out it was game one, and when Scherzer was having trouble getting out of innings, even though he only gave up the two runs, he went five innings, gave up the two, just the two that he gave up in that first inning. The pitch count being what it was, Martinez knew he would need to get something from Corbin. He got an inning, got the sixth inning. Corbin gave up a hit in that inning, but got out of the inning with no damage, and that set up the bullpen from there. Wasn't easy, not at all. Tanner Rainey, who had been pitching well in the postseason, gave up a leadoff homer to George Springer in the seventh, and eventually only got one out. In fact, he left two runners on base, handing the ball then to Daniel Hudson, who'd been the closer for the last, what, month and a half of the season, 2 months of the season, including postseason. And Hudson comes in the seventh inning with one out, which tells you, okay, so already David Martinez, okay, you got 5 runs off Cole. You had a 5-2 lead. Now it's 5-3. Now they're 2 on base. But you've already used Corbin for an inning. So you've maybe, you know, kind of messed up your rotation. Maybe Corbin has to be pushed back to game 4 at this stage. Who knows? We don't know. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more about that in depth in a couple minutes. But you've already used Corbin. Now you're using your closer. You're sort of checkmating yourself here almost if you're Davey Martinez. If this doesn't work, I mean, you've gotten 5 runs off the best pitcher in baseball, and you can lose the game. That can be the beginning of the recipe of a series sweep, which a lot of people thought could be very possible. I mean, certainly the Vegas odds makers made the Astros the biggest favorite in a World Series since 2007 when Boston swept Colorado. So a lot of folks were thinking this was going to be a walkthrough by the Astros in this series. And, you know, if you get 5 runs off Cole and you can't win that game, that would sort of kind of tell a tale there, wouldn't it? But Corbin gets out of the seventh. Then he creates some damage in the eighth. In fact, the bases end up being loaded. Actually, the bases were loaded in the seventh. He puts 2 more on in the eighth. Sean Doolittle got out of that damage. Or got out of that situation. A run did score in the eighth, made it 5-4, but Doolittle got out of that inning with no further damage, and then a perfect ninth. So, I mean, this was a game. It was a very entertaining game, maybe not as entertaining as Nats fans would have hoped for when they had the 5-2 lead in the fifth, or maybe more entertaining than they would have hoped for. I think Nats fans' idea of entertaining would have been a relatively easy 5-2 win, not a skin of your teeth 5-4 win, but a win's a win. You beat the best pitcher in baseball, and you have a 1-0 lead, and now you feel like you're playing with house money tonight. Game 2, 8:08 start at Minute Maid Park, 8:08 Eastern time start at Minute Maid Park, about 3.5 hours from when we're recording this podcast. And wow, this is a matchup that I look at and I think, This feels like a Nats advantage going in. Houston has to feel like, one, that the game pressure is on them. The Nats, again, feel like you're playing with house money. You came in, your game plan when you got on the plane to get to Houston was, we got to get one win. We got to split. We want to go back to D.C. at least 1-1. Well, now you got the one. Now you feel like, hey, if we can go up 2-0, and get back to D.C., and if we can win 2 of 3 in D.C., we get the World Series. We don't have to go back to Houston. We don't want to go back to Houston now, would be the mantra of the Washington Nationals clubhouse. And if you're Houston, though, kind of on the opposite side of that. I mean, you feel like, wow, we've got to win this. We cannot go to D.C. down 2-0. Then all the Nats need to do is take 2 of 3 on the weekend, and they're World Series champions. So you got to – I wonder how the Astros will approach this from that standpoint. You wonder if they might not play a little Game 7-ish in this. And I don't know if that means that A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, will play sort of the way Davey Martinez has, being willing to use starters and relief and that kind of thing. I don't think you're going to see Zach Greinke pitching tonight if that's the case. But it wouldn't surprise me if he may not have a short hook for Justin Verlander if Verlander has issues. And I raise that question because, of course, Verlander on the season, I mean, the season numbers are just lights out. 21-6, 2.58 ERA, 0.80 whip, walks and hits per innings pitch, 12.1 strikeouts per 9 innings. I mean, these are all Cy Young numbers from a former Cy Young winner, a future Hall of Famer. But in the postseason, he's not quite been at the same guy. A 1-2 record, 3.70 ERA. He lost his last couple starts, including a 4-1 loss. I say that. That's inaccurate. He won one game in between, but he lost game 4 in the ALDS to Tampa Bay, starting with short rest. And then he lost game 5 of the ALCS in New York. It was a 4-1 loss, gave up 2 homers in the first inning, and all 4 of the runs. There was a solo shot, a 3-run homer. And then he was good. He was great the rest of the way. I think he pitched 7 innings in that game and kept the Yankees off the board thereafter, but still lost the game 4-1. You look at Verlander's numbers in the postseason. 5 home runs allowed in 24 and a third innings. His walks are also up a good bit. 8 walks in 24 innings. That comes out to 2.96 per 9 innings. He walked just 1.70 per 9 in the regular season. So home runs are up, walks are up, ERA way up for Verlander. And he's going to need to go deep in this one. And I would think Steven Strasburg on the Nats side will need to as well. Strasburg 3-0, 1.64 ERA in 4 appearances, 3 starts, and a 3-inning relief stint in the wild card game, which feels like forever ago now for Strasburg in the 2019 postseason. He's going to probably need to give the Nats 7 innings in this game if it's at all possible. And, of course, that's what I said going into yesterday's game, last night's game, on the part of Max Scherzer. And Scherzer only gave you 5. You're not going to have Corbin available tonight, though. David Martinez talked about, after the game, he talked about his plans regarding Corbin. And I haven't seen any news on this as of the recording of this podcast as to what Martinez's plans for Friday are officially. But he said he didn't presume that Corbin would not be available to make his start. You know, pitchers, starting pitchers throw in between their starts. And just, you know, to kind of keep sharp. And Corbin was due to throw bullpen on Tuesday anyway. So instead of throwing bullpen, he was just using the game. He threw 21 pitches in the game. I think I have that right. Actually, I don't have the number of pitches here. 21 pitches was the number Hudson threw, and I'll talk about Hudson and Doolittle in a moment. But Corbin did get out of the inning. So anyway, Martinez said that you know, he would make a decision, and in fact we can look this up while we're talking here. I'm thinking there might be some indication if the his post conference transcript is up. I'll see if that's the case here real quick, and I don't think it's up quite yet. So it doesn't look like we have that quite yet available here today. But Martinez said he would talk with Patrick Corbin, talk with his pitching coach, and then make a call on Corbin. But he also made it clear that he would not be available today. Of course, Max Scherzer won't be available today. We've seen Scherzer out of the bullpen as well, but Scherzer was pitched. He was taken about as far as he could yesterday. Again, 112 pitches, and also most of those pitches were from the stretch. He was pitching with runners on base really pretty much the whole night. I think one number I saw was only 17 pitches of his 112 were in the full windup. Most of his pitches were from the stretch. So a lot of stressful pitches on the part of Scherzer. The Nats will be happy just to have him ready to go on full rest on game five if necessary on Sunday. But as far as the rest of the pen, so I talked about Strasburg needing to give the Nats 7 innings, and if that's your prescription tonight is 7 innings. Hudson threw 21 pitches last night, and Doolittle 13. So I think they're probably available for you, but I don't know that either could give you a multiple inning. Like we've seen Martinez use that combination to try to get you 3 innings. Doolittle, I'm trying to think which game it was in the NLCS, but Doolittle pitched a complete inning and then got through the game 3 where pitched the 7th and then gave you most of the 8th before Hudson took over, and then Hudson was able to kind of do a multiple inning thing too. I don't know that you'll see either of those guys kind of put in that position tonight given the number of pitches they threw last night. There is an off day tomorrow, so I mean, you know, there could be some leeway. It's also this is October. I mean, it's a long season. They've been pitching for a while, but you know, at this stage, if you have a chance to win, maybe, but I don't know. So Tanner Rainey could be a guy. Fernando Rodney didn't get used last night. I know a lot of Nats fans think God forbid Fernando Rodney's in a game in a situation where it's either a tie game or the Nats will have maybe a 1-run lead or maybe just 1 run behind, and you're trying to keep it close. But Rodney, you know, he's got the experience. He knows what he needs to do out there. He's been pitching in these kind of situations for a long time. Ideally, again, you get Strasburg, give you 7. I mean, easy to say. Strasburg, give you 7. Maybe Doolittle, combination of Hudson and Doolittle give you the eighth and ninth, and that would be the prescription there. The back end of the Houston bullpen on the other side seems to be fully available. Their setup guy, Will Harris, did pitch last night. He pitched an inning, 18 pitches in that inning. He's got some great numbers, 1.50 ERA, 0.93 whip, 60 appearances. I would expect him to be available in a setup role for game two if Houston gets to that stage. Closer Roberto Osuna was warming up in the pen last night when Hudson got in trouble in the eighth inning and Doolittle eventually came in and put out the fire. But when it was 5-4 with runners on base, A.J. Hinch got Osuna up, but Osuna did not get in the game last night. So presumably he'd be fully ready to go and maybe even for multiple inning appearance here. Again, it's got to feel a little game 7-ish for Houston. They cannot go down 2-0 at home, I would think, and have a chance to – or they feel like they've got a chance to have success in this series. So I like to do this, break down the starting lineups against each opposing starting pitcher. It's hard to do for everything in terms of relief pitchers and that kind of thing. But for the starting pitchers, first the Nats hitters against Justin Verlander, who I mentioned is struggling a bit right now in the postseason just in general. Collectively, the Nats, a lot of at-bats against Verlander, collectively at least, a lot of those from Asdrubal Cabrera, former longtime American League player, Kurt Suzuki, Yan Gomes also with a lot of at-bats, Hallie Kendrick, a lot of at-bats, Adam Eaton, a lot of at-bats. So all those guys, former American League players. Collectively, 68 for 274, 248 batting average, 306 on base, 365 slugging. Trey Turner, no career at-bats. Adam Eaton, the number two hitter, 7 for 31 with 9 strikeouts, three extra base hits. Anthony Rendon, just 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts. Juan Soto, the youngster, no career at-bats. Hallie Kendrick, 5 for 23, 2 doubles, 4 RBI, 6 strikeouts. Ryan Zimmerman, 0 for 5, couple strikeouts. Cabrera, 21 for 76, lots of at-bats. 6 doubles, 3 homers. So lots of success, also 30 strikeouts. But a lot of success for Cabrera, who got to start last night with the teams playing in the American League Park. There's a DH, Cabrera getting back in the mix as second base with Kendrick moving to DH. Kurt Suzuki, I don't know who's going to get the start at catcher, so I put both Kurt Suzuki and Yan Gomes in my pregame report. Suzuki, 14 for 42. That's a 333 average, 2 doubles, 5 runs batted in. Young and only 4 strikeouts in his 42 at-bats, too, so that's a pretty good number against a strikeout pitcher like Verlander. Gomes, 11 for 41, 3 doubles and 9 strikeouts. And Victor Robles, the number 9 hitter, no career at-bats. So that's the breakdown of the Nats hitters against Verlander. Again, 248, keep these numbers in mind, 248, 306, 365. You look at the numbers for the Astros hitters, 147, 194, 206 slash, 5 for 34. Not a lot of at-bats against Strasburg. Who had no history in the American League. George Springer, 0 for 3. Jose Altuve, 2 for 5. Michael Brantley, 0 for 2. Alex Bregman, 2 for 3. Yuri Gurriel, 0 for 2. Correa or Alvarez, no career bats for either. Martin Maldonado, 0 for 4. Josh Reddick, 0 for 2. So, not a lot of at-bats against Strasburg, so you could say small sample size. Only 5 for 34 collectively, the Astros hitters against Strasburg. Who is, he's ascending right now. He's pitching great. He's pitching his best baseball, really consistent baseball of the season at this stage. Verlander not pitching his best baseball at this stage of the 2019 season. So that's sort of the look of where these two teams kind of match up for tonight's game. And again, we'll kind of get a sense of where we go from here. I thought we might get something. I'm going to click it one more time just to see. I get any updates here, and it does not look like I will get the update that I was hoping for in terms of just the transcript of today's press conference down in Houston. It's odd. I've been a sports writer for 20 plus years, going on 25 years now. Baseball, Major League Baseball does pregame and postgame press conference. The pregame one, man, it's good. I like having access to that information, but just, man, you're constantly in front of a microphone and tape recorders if you're a major league manager given that. So but no, it's not available quite yet as in terms of the any information about Patrick Corbin and his availability for game 3 or 4, as the case may be. And it's not to say that there's any disadvantage if he's held back a day and goes game 4 on Saturday. You still have Anibal Sanchez, who would be able to go game 3. And, of course, the Nats with most of last week off after clinching the NLCS pretty early on Tuesday, the four-game sweep, Sanchez he's on lots of rest as well. So it would not hurt anything at all if that was the case. It's really just a matter of, I guess, of preference and the availability of Corbin from a just return from one inning standpoint. Well, Augusta Free Press, like I said, we will be up in DC on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That will have some impact on our coverage of other things. UVA football, for example. I'll be doing a separate UVA football podcast today as well, in case you haven't already tuned that in. Maybe if you're a UVA football fan, you might want to tune in. I'll break down the UVA Louisville game. But we will not have up-to-the-minute coverage of that game. That game is in Louisville 1. But also no live blog during that game. And the post-game coverage will come much later than normal. Normally, we start cranking out stuff right after our game's over. Because the world's that game's the 3:30 kickoff, we'll be finishing around 6:30, 6:45. The World Series game at 8:00. I'll already be there pregame at Nats Park. We will be doing all of our coverage into the wee hours of Sunday morning, as far as both the UVA Louisville game and Game 4. Of the World Series from on the scene there. But, I mean, I hope that the fact that I'm at the World Series will give us some color, some flavor in terms of our coverage there that we would not otherwise have. I mean, it's an awesome opportunity. If you're a Nats fan, if you're just a baseball fan and you live in the Mid-Atlantic, for me, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I've never been to a World Series game before. So much looking forward to getting up there for these games this weekend. And so that's something to look forward to as far as coverage goes from AFP. Also, tomorrow we will be talking with Jerry Carter on the podcast. Jerry Carter will no doubt ask me some thoughts on both tonight's game and then the UVA Louisville game, ACC football coming up this weekend, among other things. And then Friday, we're in D.C. So I want to thank you for listening to the podcast, and check out Augusta Free Press for more pregame stuff before game 2, postgame, of course, after game 2. We'll break it all down for you and get you ready for the weekend. Thanks a lot for listening, and have a great day, everybody.